I'm so glad you decided to tune in to episode 41 of Entertainology. I'm your host, Ava Jordan, and first and foremost, welcome. I'm a teenage singer, songwriter, actress, author, podcaster, and poet. If you like what you hear, you can check me and my social media platforms out at the link in the description. Without further ado, let's get into it. On this episode, I am pleased to welcome a very special guest, Angela Wright. Angela is a singer, songwriter, top liner, and content creator. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Ava, and I'm really happy that you reached out to me. As an independent artist, that's all we can ever ask for is finding people that enjoy our music.
And I certainly enjoy the music, so perfect match. So let's start from the very beginning. What got you into music in the first place?
It's a deep-rooted story. I've always loved music. I think there was definitely something inherently in me when, like, I was a toddler that I would just sing. That was, like, the way my parents would find me around the house is instead of, like, talking or screaming, I was like, oh, no, no. And I think my family kind of realized that about me early on and embraced it. All my other siblings are, like, they did, like, sports and finance and tech and stuff, and I've just always been, like, the little hippie child. And so I started taking singing lessons at, like, age six, just was singing, like, Pocahontas and all that stuff. And then from there was classically trained in, like, opera and did a lot of, like, musical theater camps in, like, New York and stuff like that. And I still have a love for musical theater, even though I don't do it anymore. And at 17, I auditioned for Berklee College of Music in Boston, and that had been my dream school since I was, like, 15, and was actually, like, the only school I applied to because I did the early choice, right. And went there and really honed in on all of my, like, pop music that I had been recording back in Salt Lake with one of my mentors, which is Graham Russell from Air Supply, and started playing out with a band and figuring things out. And in my sophomore year, we decided to move down to Nashville right before the pandemic. It's almost like we were like fortune tellers. So yeah, that's kind of how it like all panned out and got me here.
I love that. And also like go musical theater background as someone who's been doing musical theater for like 11, almost 12 years. And, like, the vocal lessons and piano and all the other stuff and just bringing it together. Also, like, go Boston and Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, my mom's family's from Boston, so I've grown up going up there, and I love it. Yeah. And I went to Nashville on a family trip, and we toured the Ryman, the Grand Ole Opry. There's so much music history there. It's such a great spot, especially as a music lover, to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, yeah, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so I had always, in my brain, my family vacations were always like California or New York. So I was always like, those are where I want to end up. Those are my favorite places. And I mean, to this day, probably still are true. But Nashville is just so accessible for songwriters.
Right.
And so it was kind of like a great place for me to like try and like break in a little bit more because like I don't have a bunch of industry people that I know, you know, that can give me the leg in. So I was like, I'm going to build myself from the ground up in Nashville and like the songwriting community.
Absolutely.
But I also spend time in LA kind of hoping to do the same thing. But it can be a little harder when you don't know anybody there because it's so much bigger.
Right. So if you couldn't make the kind of type of music that you make now, what other music genre would you tap into?
So I think that's a really funny question because, you know, like putting your artist music in like a category can be so hard. And mm-hmm. I think when people listen to like my discography, they're like, wow, you're really diverse. Because like some of it's pop, some of it's kind of country, some of it's like Americana folksy, some of it's disco.
Right.
So it's like kind of mixing those all together is like my goal. But like if I weren't just like doing that like weird mix of that like alt pop, I think it's funny because like I really have never like been obsessed with country, but for some reason I'm really good at it. So maybe that would be something that I would like go back to. Or honestly, writing musicals. Like I never really thought about that when I was younger, but I like if I were to write like pop music, that could be something I would think about doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Especially the writing musicals definitely hits home again, musical theater background.
Yeah, I feel like so many musicians, especially like that didn't grow up in like music cities or in the industry, kind of had their first dive into music with like,
theater, yeah.
Musical theater and stuff like that. And then you find, like, obviously everybody grew up like listening to the radio of some sort. And so that was kind of, like, cool for me because I had this, like, inherent nightclub jazz singing voice when I was a little kid. My parents were just like, where did you hear this music? Like, my mom loved, like, 90s, 2000s pop.
Yeah.
And my dad liked Metallica. So they were both like, how are you singing jazz? So I think that's really fun to kind of hone in on, too. And Berklee was really prominent in that. But also at the same time, like, that's where, like, you get imposter syndrome, too, where I was like, well, I'm not a jazz artist. Like, I like jazz a lot, but I'm not a jazz artist compared to some of the other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And imposter syndrome, especially in creative professions, particularly in music and the performing arts, imposter syndrome is such a prevalent, like, issue with so many artists, and it's, like, no matter, like, what your musical background is or your kind of stage of the game,
yeah,
it's always, like, something that's kind of there. And I think it's so, like, it's so refreshing when I meet people from different genres because it also is kind of like, oh, like, me who likes to diversify some pop. And in general, like, my music taste I listen to is very diverse.
Yeah.
So that diversity in music helps kind of settle the imposter syndrome a bit for me, at least.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. One of my favorite things to do, especially here in Nashville, is co-writing. And my reason for that is a lot of people get uncomfortable with co-writing because they're like, oh, well, the idea's not mine anymore or whatever. Yes, it is. but... What I love about it, though, is that you get to write songs you never would have written alone. Because, like, you listen to this, I listen to this, and, like, you all are coming in with different influences, and when you come together, you kind of have that, like, magic, like, baby child of all of the diverse things that you guys are listening and actively doing.
Right, which just makes it even more special. So that's my diverse music taste and your diverse music taste, but how would you describe yourself in 5 words?
maybe just like me is like colorful, curvy, creative. I like ethereal. I was obsessed with fairies as a kid, and I think that kind of translated into the way that I am now too. Yes, so I think those would at least be a couple of my words. I would say, like, a glamorous hippie.
Yeah, I love that. So, one of your words was creative, but what puts you in that creative mood? Like, what inspires you to start making this art? Because that's what music is.
Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes is, when words fail, music speaks. And that's always stood really strong for... Is that yours too?
I have that on a bracelet.
I have a mug. Let me grab my mug. it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. I don't even know who it's by, so I feel like an idiot. But I stand by that very strongly because I tend to be just like a very bubbly, happy person. And music always was that spot, especially when writing, where I could kind of go and be more vulnerable and more sad and kind of in touch with some of those, like, darker emotions that I didn't want to, like, burden other people with.
Absolutely.
So music has always been that. I would say some of my, like, like helpful inspiration tools though are like going out in nature. I love that. It really like just even like not having music on like is super important because you get to like let the music and the thoughts kind of come into your brain naturally without some forced external thing. I definitely would say like my overarching themes in my music that inspire me are just like following your dreams and doing the things that you want to do. Also, I'm sentimental. I'm super sentimental. So anything,
yes, anything sentimental. Really,
like, caught home for me or like family, friends, places, you know, those kind of things are definitely going to like seep through in my music. Even like Siren Call, it's probably my most like poetic, nonsensical, lyrical song. But to me, it has like a really deep story of like being about my family and feeling like I was destined for this faraway dream that I needed to go pursue and leave other things behind. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I think if somebody were to just hear the song, that wouldn't be their immediate instinct. But for me, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a songwriter, like, music is about, like, you know, our emotions, our feelings, and the ability, I think, what makes certain songs such great songs is not just the artistry of the actual music itself, but the artistry of the lyrics and the relatability and the connections that forms. Yeah. And I read something in some songwriter's prompts, whatever, that said that your verses are written for you. That's the storyline. That is you pouring out your feelings.
Yeah.
But the chorus is for yourself and the community that you create with that song. The chorus, that's what sticks in people's brains. That's where the message, the relatability tends to shine through. And I thought that was such a great way. It's one of those quotes, like, when words fail, music speaks, where it just sticks with you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would say music is one of the closest things we have to magic.
Oh, absolutely, hands down.
The way you can watch it transform humans, I've watched it transform myself. Like, it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And so, sometimes they're, like, yeah, obviously, songs have lyrics in them, but, like, when I like to write, it's funny, everybody has different writing processes, and I'm flexible, like, especially when I'm working with other people, but my favorite way is to, like, kind of have some sort of song or some sort of, like, melody or something to go off of, because, again, like, I think music speaks for itself. It's already saying something, like, tonally, and it has an emotion coming from it. Like, when you listen to instrumentals, you definitely feel things, right?
Obviously.
It's not just because somebody's saying, hey, you're feeling sad.
Like,
no.
Right.
So I think that's a cool way to take it.
Yeah. So we've talked about your vibe and your style and what gets you into this creative music maker mood. Yeah. But what do you like doing in your spare time outside of music?
Yeah. Some of my favorite things, I have a little cat, and basically all animals are one of my favorite things in life. I think they're just precious. Doing that, I love spending time outdoors. So, like, I just got a paddleboard, and I've been, you know, going out to the lake and just kind of really finding, like, peace within being out by yourself and just being in nature. Other things, I'm, like, a movie and TV dork. I am.
Yeah,
like,
hi.
Marvel superheroes, I'm a dork. Like, so,
oh, yeah.
Always gets me.
I've got the big three, the Harry Potter, Marvel, and Star Wars.
You really do.
Wizards, superheroes, and we'll call them galaxy warriors, because I don't really know how else to describe. But yeah, movie and TV, that's a lot of what we talk about here on the podcast. It's that pop culture and the music and the movies and just entertainment in general, that's all a part of that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's like,
yeah.
One of my biggest dreams/goals is to have my music synced in movies and TV. because I know how important music and soundscapes are to shows. Because, like, if you turn off the audio of a show, it does not feel the same at all.
Absolutely. Especially those action movies where you need that, like, the amazing score to kind of emphasize the tension and the emotion of the scene. It really, and that's such a great thing about movies. It's a story, but it's really a collaborative effort between the music, the actors, the production team. It's really, it's amazing. So we've got the spare time. We've got a little more into A Glimpse of You. But now, what can we expect from Miss Angela Wright in the future? Like, what? Some plans.
Yeah, so I actually have a song coming out this Friday, which is July 22nd.
Woo!
So I'm excited for that. It's kind of like an ethereal disco pop. It's kind of like a fun mix of, like, it starts out, like, operatic and kind of, like, harpish, and then it goes, like, very Lana Del Rey, honestly. And then goes into, like, kind of more of, like, a disco vibe. And so I'm excited about that one.
Fairy disco!
Yes, literally. And then I've got another one. I haven't set a release date for it yet, but it'll be, like, sometime soon in the fallish. And that one's a little bit more of, like a space ballad. Like, almost like crooner vibes, like Phineas.
Ooh! Yeah.
So just slowly rolling out different songs throughout the next couple months, and then just actively I've been writing and trying to just, like, as you said, like, content creator, you know, I do a lot of that kind of stuff, like, on the side, which is also a creative outlet for me to, like, go take photos with products or partnering with brands that, like, I kind of identify with. It has been a lot of fun for me too. Yeah. So really just working on kind of growing new, like, finding new listeners, finding new people to, like, hone in on what they like and what I like.
Yeah.
Because I've...
Growing that community.
Like, yeah, because I feel like right now where I'm at is I have found some people that love my music and I love it, but I also feel like I have a lot of, like, maybe followers or whatever that actually don't care about the music but are just more there. And so I want to find those people that, like, truly want to hear everything that I'm working on. And so it's exciting to, like, talk to people like you who have those, like, curiosities and, like, dive deeper into artists' work, because, like, that's all we ever really want.
Right. It's not just about the music, it's about the story and the artist behind it. And I think that's what makes, that's the difference between I'm trying to think of two, like, reasonably, like, similar in genre artists. That's the difference between a Harry Styles and a Niall Horan. The artist behind it, the stories behind it, the difference in their personality and their personal style that makes those songs so amazing. I'm a fan of both, but it's so different to hear both. So I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
And I thought a perfect way to end would be your advice to aspiring singer-songwriters.
Okay, yes. I've got lots. So I moved to Nashville not knowing a single soul. And I don't think it's necessarily relative to what city you're in. But just, like, don't be afraid to go up and talk to other musicians of any sort. They could be so, like, completely unrelated to you. But, like, really hone in on, like, making genuine connections and friendships with people that are doing things like you, because you can help each other out. You can motivate each other to do things. You can write songs together, and who knows, like, they might get a publishing deal and that song might soar just because you wrote with them one time. It's not a using game. It's a community game. And I think that's really cool. So that's, like, my first thing. Then another thing, stay focused. You know, social media and everything else can be very abusive sometimes. And I get down on myself often, honestly. And I'm, like, I would say people would say I'm relatively successful. But also there are days where I seriously am crying on my floor and I'm calling my mom who's 1,000 miles away. And I'm like, what am I doing? How do I do what I want to do? These are all the things that, like, I see other people doing. don't let like, not jealousy, but don't let things get in your way of what you actually want.
Yeah, the comparison.
Yeah, exactly. Comparison is the thief of all joy. Like, do what you feel. Also, like, be authentic. Like, that's something I've really learned is, you know, you can put out all these different things of, like, you being, like, being Kim Kardashian status or whatever yourself. I think the more true your fans and your audience and people that you work with will be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, like, don't burn bridges, especially in this industry. It is so small. Like, I've only lived in Nashville 3 years, which, almost 3 years, I guess. And I have ran into the same people, or people that know people, or people that know people I've dated, or anything like that, like, hundreds of times. And that's not because, like, oh, the city's small or whatever. I've had the same thing happen to me in LA, like, in Utah, like, it's because of the industry we're in. We're all doing the same things. We're all working together, going to the same places. So just, like, be nice to everybody, because you never know. Like, this was something I was really thinking about yesterday, is, like, you have to plant the seeds. And, like, doesn't mean every one of them is going to grow. But, like, you just put them, you sprinkle them out, and you water them, and you hope for the best. Because, like, you never know what might work out.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here, Angela. And thank you, dear listener, so much for listening. And I hope you enjoyed. Remember to tune in and follow Entertainology on Instagram and Twitter. That's all for today. Ava Jordan, signing off.